So we're going to start, and what we're going to do is I'm going to start with a song. So if y'all want to get on up and we'll do a little bit of worship, get us in the mood, get us focused on God, kind of get put all our holidays in the back, get us back on track. I know we're probably all exhausted and are just very happy that Christmas is over. I am always happy when Christmas is over. It's like the busiest time of year for me because not only do I decorate my home and buy presents and all that stuff, but I decorate the church and supervise some decoration, get things going, and I'm decorating to the last minute, and then all of a sudden you have Christmas, it's over, then I got to put it all away. So, you know, I am just so glad when it is done because I am exhausted. So now it's time to get our mind focused on God, and are we ready, Sarah? Okay, make it loud.
Everything's on the altar now. No holding back, no holding out. In view of your matchless sacrifice, take every treasure, take this life.
I've been praying about things. I've been praying about, as you know, we got done with our book on Acts, and we're done with that. And so I've been praying on a direction, a different direction to go for the ladies, and something new. Acts was really good, and I really enjoyed it because it showed us how the beginning of the church, and all the things that went on and the struggles that went on, and it was just amazing to see, and we learned a lot from it. Now I want to do a different direction. This is kind of like an opening to what I want to do, and actually I'm going to do two things probably in February. One will be for will be a teaching for whoever wants to come, and the other will be a teaching for those who really, really want to commit to it and to commit to a deeper walk with God, to walk into the deep end, into the scary end of life, and be really, really committed to that. And so there'll be two things, and there's no shame in anything. It depends on where you're at in your walk. I mean, some of us are at the stage where we're raising children, and it is just hard to sit down and pray in the morning. So we're all at different stages, and it just depends on where you're at. But with that, I'm going to start with this, and the word that God gave me was being resolute, resolution. If you notice, you have, we're going to work on these later. A resolution is it's a goal. It's like your main goal, a decision. It's a firm decision to do or not to do something. And so I'll use the example of our firm decision to serve God. But it can be anything. It can be a firm decision to go on a diet. It can be a firm decision to lead a healthier lifestyle. Can be a firm decision in many areas. A firm decision to go further in your schooling. And then you have all these other things that follow. So our firm decision to serve God, it needs to be something that we are passionate about. If you make a decision about something that you have no passion, it's not going to work. You're not going to go very far in it, because it's like, everybody else is on a diet, so I'm going to go on a diet. Though I don't know if I really want to go on a diet. You know, I'm not all that passionate about that thing. And, you know, you've already set yourself up for failure because you don't have that great desire to do it. The decision, a resolution, or to resolve to do something, is, as in serving God, it is the thing that determines the other things that we do. Everything that I decide to do is based on my resolution, my decision to follow Jesus. Everything that I do goes along with that. No matter, I mean, there's some things like, do I want to get apples or do I want to get oranges? But things that can turn my life in a direction, those are based on that one major decision that I made when I was about 25. So that is a decision that colors everything else. That is what I'm firm on. That is the thing that turns me in the direction that I need to go. When I turn from that, then everything seems to fall apart and it doesn't go. Just in the practical, if you make a resolution to go on a diet and you're firm in that, but you eat the cupcake, you know you're going to put on pounds and it's going to take a little bit more time to get to that goal. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing if, you know, you are resolute in your relationship with God, but you decide to turn from that. Maybe if you're dating, you go after somebody who is not strong in the Lord, that's going to pull you from that. You get involved in some things that pull you from God. It can be even television shows. It can be simple things that pull you from that thing, from the relationship with God. So that is being resolute. You know, the thing of resolutions, you know, that we make in January, you know, that's, to me, is like, it sets you up for failure because, you know, you're determined to do this thing, but it's because it's January, and you want to lose the pounds or you want to do the thing because spring is going to be coming. You know, that almost sets you up for failure because I don't know if it's set on the timetable or on that true desire. So when you're resolute, within that resolution, there are goals that you set. Some are long-term, some are short-term. Some are more difficult. So I set a goal up to do to read a certain amount in the Bible in a certain amount of time. So that's my goal, but it helps me to continue on with my decision in serving God to know Him. You see what I'm saying? So that's a short-term goal. Maybe do a Bible study, do this, set up time in the morning for prayer, those type of things. Same thing, I keep going back to the diet thing, but that's something that we can all relate to. You know, same thing with that. You know, you have a, you set things up, like certain things, you clean your cupboards out of things that you don't want to eat, and you just put the stuff in that you can eat, and you buy fresh fruits, you have a plan to do that. You make decisions so that you can get that goal. But if you do a decision that isn't, you know, like let's say you do buy the cupcakes and that's going to undermine that, or you don't pray in the morning, that's going to undermine that, and you're not going to get that that goal of that relationship. The reason that I did this is because a lot of times we make these decisions and we do these things and we decide on a relationship with God, but we don't have a plan. And we just kind of get blown and tossed by the wind back and forth, and we don't have a firm plan. I find that if I have a plan and I'm making decisions to go towards that goal, then I will achieve it. You know, there's people who are goal-oriented, they achieve a lot. They always are mindful of the goal. They're always going after the goal. The problem with goal-oriented people is that they forget about the journey. So when you have a goal, you got to remember the journey and enjoy the journey. And I think that's part of the thing is when you have a goal and you say, okay, I'm going to pray every day, blah, 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 you forget about the journey and it's just about the goal. And then when you don't pray because something happens, then you beat yourself up. And then you don't go after that goal because you feel bad. It's condemnation. So the thing is you have to enjoy the journey. If you skip this, then you say, okay, then I go on to the next day, and I enjoy that time with God. Not so that, okay, now I got to do this. I got to pray for 10 minutes. I got to read this, and I got to do that. You need to enjoy the journey, to enjoy the thing. Just like when you're driving along, and you're driving in the countryside, and you're going from point A to point B. You know, I remember my daughter Jamie and I, before she had her baby, her crying baby, we went on a trip, and we went down to Tennessee, and we're driving from Kentucky to Tennessee. And I really enjoyed that journey. Usually I'm like, let's go. And this time we just, it's everything is turny there. Everything goes back and forth, and it's through countryside and farms and horse. It's beautiful. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the journey. But when you're so goal-oriented and you forget about enjoying the journey, then a lot of frustrations and things come in when you're going through that journey. And you have to learn to enjoy the journey of trying to achieve your goal. Does this make sense to you? Okay. Another thing about trying to achieve our, there's a lot of practical things that get into our way, but a lot of times we ignore or we forget about the spiritual side of things. And the spiritual side of things are very, very real. And we forget about that. And we get frustrated and we get upset and we're wondering, why can't I achieve this? Why isn't this working out for me? This is a good goal. Why can't I achieve this thing? Why is it that I undermine myself on this? Ephesians, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. And it's true. We struggle against those powers all the time, and we don't even know it. And we're at a disadvantage if we're not using the tools that God gave us, which is the Holy Spirit, the Bible, prayer, and being strong in those things, going developing those things, and using those things so we can achieve the goals that we need to do. I mean, a lot of times it's just we think that we just can't. Why is it that I have a hard time praying to God? Could it be that you're afraid of Him because of the role model that your father set for you? Could it be that you have that supernatural, ungodly fear there? Could it be that you had the spiritual thing about failure, that when you pray that you just feel that you're going to fail, and you don't even know this? But you go and you sit and it's like, okay, I'm not achieving anything because you're not going after, you're not going using the tools you need to do, and you're not fighting in the spirit. It's very important when you have a goal that you fight in the spirit. Even if it's something like a diet, you need to fight in the spirit, because you know what? There are things that come against you when you're trying to achieve something, to be healthier, to serve God more, to go forth more in that battle. The enemy doesn't want you to do that. Not at all. The enemy wants you to be a failure, but he's sneaky. And you think those voices that you hear in your head are you. You think that it's real. You think that, yeah, I am a failure. Yeah, I can't achieve this. And all your fears come before you. I had a goal. Kim's part of my goal. She's not the goal, but she got me into the thing. As you know, I've been kayaking the last year and a half or whatever, you know. And so the reason I got into it is, I don't know why, but we went for a walk or something, and we went by their house, and she had kayaks. I go, you go kayaking? She goes, yeah, I go kayaking all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course you do. She goes, we can go kayaking. And so she said, you know, we can go kayaking. And so we made plans to go kayaking. You know, that night I had nightmares all night long. But I did remember, she says, but I won't let you drown. And I'm trying to figure out how she's not going to let me drown, you know? So you got to understand that on my dad's side, they're big sailors, big boating. You know, he was from Scotland, from right by the ocean and the river, and they did all that kind of water stuff. And I just had this horrible fear of water. I think that came from my mom's side. They're very land lovers, but I just have this horrible fear of the water. And I love the water, but I don't like to be over my head in the water. You know, if I go swimming, this is about as far as I go. So anyway, I had nightmares. It was horrible, and I was determined. I knew it was a demonic fear. And I set in my heart that I am not going to let this fear stop me from doing something that I think could be real fun, could be a lot of fun for me, and something that I would like to do. So I went through the sleepless night. She picked me up. We went kayaking, and it was fun. And she took me where I could have gotten out and walked my kayak, you know. It's that shallow, so it was good, you know. I had my life preserver on, you know. I'm not going to drown. So that was the beginning of that. I went and I bought my own kayak. My husband and I bought our own kayak. I got a really good life preserver so I don't drown. So, you know, but I know that even to this day before we go, I have nightmares. I know it's because of that fear. And every time I go, the fear is a little less. Now, I had another goal within this whole kayaking thing. Now, you got to understand, to kayak, there's things, like I would make sure I exercise and stuff because I got problems with my shoulders, and it's all about doing this all the time, you know. So, you know, I did certain things. You know, I planned it. I bought the kayak that I felt would be good for me. It had a flatter bottom so I wouldn't fly over. You know, I just, you know, I did things. And then I had a goal. I had a goal that I wanted to go from Huron River, Telegraph, all the way down to, what is that, Erie? Lake Erie. That's about 4 miles, isn't it?
Oh, a little bit more.
So that's a big goal for me, my little self going down the river, you know. And I do know that there are deep parts in there, too. So, you know, so anyway, Kim told me she did it and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, I can do this. If she can do it, I can do it, you know. And then my husband, we went and we only went halfway because he's not as much of a kayaking enthusiast as me, you know. It's like he just likes to look at the beauty of everything, and I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get to the goal, you know. So we went halfway, and then so I says, Kim, I want to do one more last kayaking before, you know, the winter comes in. So we did. We went from Telegraph there, and we kayaked. So we're going, it's beautiful, and we're kayaking down this river, and it's twisting and turning, and it's not real big. I mean, I could actually kick to the shore if I need to. Then we hit the spot. This spot is wide. It looks like you're in a little bit of a lake. And then the wind starts kicking up, and it's blowing, and we're going, and I'm, like, getting tired. And then at this one point, I remember this, I was kayaking, and I wasn't going anywhere. And I go, Kim, I'm not going anywhere. And that day or that night, I read this thing about the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland. You got to realize where my mind goes when I'm in the water. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm going backwards, in fact. I'm going the other direction. And I'm going, I'm not going nowhere. And I thought that monster had grabbed my boat. And then I looked in the back, and I saw this log, because the wind was blowing. The log was spinning the other way, and it got stuck under my kayak and was actually taking me in the other direction against the current. It was the weirdest thing. I think it was a demon. I mean, I'm telling you, it had to have been a demon. So anyway, I knocked that stupid thing, and then I was on my way. And then we're going further, and it's getting rougher. And I'm going, Kim, how far is it? And she's going, it's not far. But you got to understand, Kim says that about everything. If she's lost, she's not lost. So, you know, so we're going. And all of a sudden, there's like white caps. There's little white caps going. I'm going to die. There's all these little white caps. And it reminded me of this song by Clannad. It's Going Against the Wind. It's the name of the title. I don't even know what the song's about, but I love the title. Going Against the Wind. And Bob Seger's got one too. Going Against the Wind. You know, and that's what we're doing. We're going basically against the wind. The wind is blowing, and we're going with the current, but against the wind. And it was crazy, and we finally went over closer to the shore, and it was a lot easier. But it's like that in life when you're you make a goal and things are going against you, and you just keep going, and you have to keep paddling to achieve that thing. You're going against the wind. You're going against the elements. You're going against the devil who's trying to keep you from doing that thing. You're going against those things, you know. And it's you can put in perspective of anything that you've done physical in your life that has been hard, whether it be hiking or swimming or whatever. It's you're going against the elements. You're going against those things. But if it's worth it, it's worth achieving and fighting and doing the things that you need to do to achieve your goal, no matter what it is. The scripture that God gave me, well, actually the book he gave me, was Ruth. If you know me, you know I love Ruth. You know, Ruth is, she's this little unsung heroine in this book, and she's in a time where it was really a bad time where there was a lot of things going on. If you read the very end of Judges, it tells you that there was just all this evil going on, and this is the time that Ruth came. People were kidnapping women, all this kind of stuff. So she comes along, and she declares herself to Naomi. I'm not going to go through this whole thing, so don't think I'm going to read the whole book for you. You're safe. So anyway, is everybody familiar with the Book of Ruth? Okay. If not, read it. It's a short book. It's only 3 chapters, and it's a fun book to read. It doesn't. You can read it at face value. You don't have to get into all these things and wonder why this happened or whatever. It's a good book. So Naomi came to Moab with her husband and her sons, and her husband died. Her sons married, and then 10 years later, her sons died, and she is stuck with these 2 women. So Naomi decides that she's going to go back to the land, go back to the place of comfort, of where she has fond memories of her childhood, go back to the land of her God. That's where she's going to go. And so her 2 daughter-in-laws decide to go with her, but of course, she encourages them to go back. And one goes, but Ruth stays, and she has this declaration. And we're all very familiar with it. It says, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it so severely, even if death separates you and me. You know, and when people said things back there, they meant it. Their vow was their vow. Nowadays, people make vows, and they don't even remember that they made the vows. But the thing that I want to point out is Naomi just didn't come to that conclusion right at that moment. Ruth had determined that she was going to stay with Naomi even before Naomi decided to leave, because she loved Naomi, and more importantly, she loved Naomi's God, and she wanted to serve Naomi's God, and that God was her focus. And that determined everything. And so her link to her Savior, her God, was Naomi, and she wasn't going to leave Naomi. So she went with Naomi. And I can just imagine the journey was probably horrific, two women. And I want, you got Ruth, and she's childbearing age, so she's probably PMSing during this trip. And you got Naomi, and I'm telling you, she's going through the change. You know, call me death, call me, she's like, she's depressed, and she's just sees nothing good because she feels that she's cursed. And then, isn't that how we feel when we're going through the whole menopause thing? Like, nothing is good. Nothing is good. But I'm telling you, you still can determine, no matter what your body is going through, you can still achieve your goals if you do it with the help from God. So they left and they went. Okay, here's the thing I was going to say. This is what shows me that she's got to be menopausal. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very, very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Isn't that how we feel sometimes? I went away full, and now I'm empty. I'm going through a hard time, and I'm a mess. And, nobody, woe is me. Nobody cares. No, right? Yep. Right. Okay. But you know what? This too will pass. And they went, and she made this decision. So this is her, she's resolved to serve God. But in this resolution to serve, there are these goals. And part of the goals with Ruth is she's going to protect and she's going to watch over Naomi, and she's going to serve her and do what she needs to do. But then there's decisions to be made, like what are we going to do for food? So she goes and gleans, and then she comes back to report that I went to this field of Boaz and blah, 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 to Naomi. And Naomi tells her, go ahead and keep going to that field because you'll be safe there. So while she is, gleaning from this field and everything, Boaz comes to her. He watches her. He says, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have been told about all the good decisions that you have made, all the things that you have done for your mother-in-law, and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with people you did not know. And he says to her, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So her goal is to be under the wings and the protection of God. And as you see later on, because of her obedience to Naomi, when Naomi says, go, they're going to the threshing floor. Go, sit at his feet, cover up at the end of his feet, which is something I wouldn't do. Go and do that thing. And she obeyed him, and she did it. And what she was doing, she was putting herself under the protection, under the wings of Boaz, and putting herself under the protection of God. And as the story progresses, you see that she is greatly blessed. Naomi is greatly blessed because of Ruth's obedience, and she marries Boaz, and they have children. And Naomi is taken care of, and she is the grandmother of these children. Though she has no blood relation to either one of these, this is how God did it, because of her obedience and because she was true. She made the right little decision. She could have very easily said, no, I'm not going to go out there and clean that field with all those men. It is hot out there. I'm not doing that thing. This is not a good time. I may get raped. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm not going to go out there. But she did what Naomi told her. No, I'm not going to go into that threshing floor. I mean, these are things that her mother-in-law told her to do that in the natural didn't look that good. But she did them anyway because of her trust in God. And she was obedient to those decisions. So we have decisions in our life, these little decisions that we make that we don't even realize have a great impact on us, and that one major decision that we have made that changes our life. You see what I'm saying? Yes, say yeah. Come on, I get a little feedback here. Let's look at this right here. Do you guys got pencils, pens? And so on this is there are two sides to this. One side we can use for our the resolution, our decision to serve God and the things that help us to serve him. On the back, I didn't have it worded right here, but you can put whatever decision you want that you are struggling with that you want to do or goal that you have in your life. And on one side of the paper are the practical things that help us to achieve that goal. And then underneath that, there are spiritual decisions that help us to achieve that goal. Okay, you could use this for two different goals here. And you can do it with four because the way it's split up. So let's look at our decision for with our relationship with God. So what are some practical decisions that you can do to help us achieve our relationship with God? Just write some things down. Very, very simple, like I mentioned in prayer, reading the Bible, but there may be other things in your life. Maybe there's some things that you, like, don't watch too much TV, maybe there's relationships that are hindering you in your relationship with God, you know, things like that. So that's where it says practical decision that will help us to achieve the goal of our relationship with God. Some things that I do is I go to bed early, because if I don't, then I have a hard time praying when I get up because I'm not rested. So I try to go to bed early and get up early. That is something that helps me a lot in everything, actually. Okay, underneath there, it says spiritual decisions that will help us to achieve the goal of our relationship with God, like our natural fears. Like what I told you about with the natural fear of water that I have when I was kayaking. Same thing with fear is always a big one with me, and I think it is for a lot of people, fears of different things. A lot of times fears of relationship. If you've had an abusive relationship with your father or he wasn't in the picture, a lot of that has a lot to play in your relationship with God. Because if he's not there, you just feel he's not going to answer your prayers. He's just going to abandon you just like all the other guys in your life have. So, and if you have an abusive relationship with your father, you feel, well, you know, he's going to hurt me, you know. If I let go of this thing and give it to God, it's not going to bode well for me because of the relationship that I've had with my earthly father. So it can be fear of letting go, fear of God being harsh with you, fear of a lot of things, fear of abandonment. There's a lot of things that you can write down. I'm sure I can use all those lines. All right, in the next line, by your practical decisions, if you have, it's written here on this side right here, it says practical decisions that undermine our ability to achieve the goal of a closer relationship with God. Just like the diet thing, you know, you eat the cupcake, you put on the pounds, you get up late, you're too busy, you put God in the back burner, you don't go to Bible study because it's too cold out, whatever it is that you put here, put the things that stop you from doing those things. Okay, right below that, it says spiritual decisions that undermine our ability to achieve the goal of our closer relationship to God. Basically, if you have a fear of this, giving into the fear. If you have maybe a self-loathing or low self-esteem, a lot of times if you have low self-esteem, it's almost a self-loathing. So you behave as though you hate yourself. You don't take care of yourself. And in the spirit, you don't take care of yourself spiritually. You don't feel that you're good enough to have a relationship with God. So you undermine that by, you know, not doing the things you need to do. Not praying. Not spending time with him. Not being filled with his spirit. Does this make sense? Okay, are we good? You need a couple of minutes? Are we good? Okay. Now, on the back of this, you can use this to for anything that you want later on. If you have a goal, let's say you want to, you know, live healthier, work out, you know, whatever. You can use that for that, too. Can you see, when you're looking at this, can you see where, in the black and white, where with your practical decisions, and then you see the things that keep you from doing that? Can you see that? Does that help you to see why you're not achieving the goal that you want to? A lot of times we just think we're just tired. But a lot of times it's not just that you're just too tired to do something. It's a spiritual thing. Or it's you just being lazy. Sometimes it's just being lazy. But if you never do what you need to do, then you're not going to achieve the goal. And the goal here is a closer relationship with God, to be with Him, to know what He wants, to know His heart, to spend that time to listen to Him and to actually hear Him. In order to have a relationship with somebody, you have to actually hear Him. You have to know what He's saying to you. And with me, God's given me a little insight to this, you know, because of my daughter Addie, who's deaf. So it's been a real, a lot of hard work to really communicate with her. And right now we're on a roll. She's communicating a lot because she's doing the sign language. And so, of course, then I have to learn sign language to really talk to her. So that's been kind of a struggle. So I have to make these goals, you know. So this old lady's got to learn something new, and it is not easy, you know. But for her, I do it because I want to communicate with her. I want to know what's in her heart. I want to know what she needs. I want to know why is it that she's crying. Now she can tell me for years. She's six now. For years she couldn't tell me why she was crying, why she had a hard time or something. And now she tells me, you know. And, you know, she does it in sign language, and she's starting to talk and get some language skills, too. So it's been good. But that's the same thing with God. God has this great desire to communicate with us, but we don't know how to communicate with Him, or we don't take the time to learn. And it's in the spiritual. It's sitting down and praying and getting the right mindset, reading His Word, and listening to His voice. You know, if you don't listen to what He's saying, then you're not going to know. Just like when I have to watch Addie's hands to know what she's saying. And I have to learn how to interpret what she's saying. And it can be hard because you have to focus, you have to sit still, and you have to spend some time. And it's the same thing with God. And we wonder why we don't have that relationship. Because we're so busy, and we do the negative things because of our emotions and how we feel, and we don't do the things that we need to do. We don't make the decisions that we need to make to have that relationship with God, or any number of things that we have goals for. You see what I'm saying? So it's very important to sit still and to listen. And to do the things that you need to do, to have a plan, to have goals. People who have goals are people that achieve things. And a lot of times our goals are very simple. Like when I had young children, my goal was just to get through the day. You know, and it was a good goal, you know, just to get through the day. I had three little ones running around, and it was crazy. And then I got them into the teenagers, and then I had another one. So it was like, it was just the goal to get through the day. And now, you know, my goals change, and I can actually strive for even a deeper relationship with God because I can spend more time. Not that I couldn't spend time before, but it was a little sporadic. But I can spend more time at His feet. I don't have those excuses that I did. And, you know, a lot of times we have busy moments in our life, but a lot of times we don't, and we just keep doing those same things, even though we can make that time for Him. You know, I was praying today, and God gave me a word. It's a good word. And I actually sat still, and I listened. Because I'm not very good. See, what I'm telling you, I'm not very good at. Just to let you know, I'd rather be busy. I'd rather wash a floor than sit still. I'm just saying. So I sat still and I listened, and God says, this is for you ladies. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Look straight on. All the little things will come in line if your focus is on God. Don't waver. Don't fear. March toward the heart of God with His Spirit and with His Son. All right? That's for you guys. Just don't waver. Don't waver. Just keep focused on Him. Don't let those little things, those little foxes, you know, spoil those things that God has planned within you. All right? This is what I want you to do. I want you to play that song, Circle Me. I want you to spend some quiet time during the song, and I want you just to repent for things that you haven't done that you need to do. Ask God to give you the strength to do the things you need to do, and ask God to help you to be strong to get to your goal. All right? Think you can do that? Okay? Basically what I'm asking you to do is spend some time with God. Just listen to Him. Hand it over to Him and listen to Him.
going to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for every one of these women, no matter where they're at with you and what their life is like, Lord God. I pray for your hand to be upon them, Lord, and that they would focus on you, Lord, and who you are, that they would allow you to circle you, Lord, with your arms and hide them underneath your feathers, Lord God, and protect them. Help them to strive and to run after you, Lord God, that they would not let anything cut in on this race towards you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that they would enjoy this journey, this relationship with you, and whatever other goal that they have set for their life. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray that your hand would be upon them. I pray for all who are sick, that your hand would be upon them and your healing power. I pray for Laura Wolin, who is not here because of having surgery, Lord, and we pray that you'd lift her up and take away the pain that she is in, Lord God. I pray that you would strengthen each of these ladies, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, and that they would be bold and that would be they would be courageous in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have one last song, and then you're done. Okay? Now you got to get up because this is a fun one.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the light, you are the fight that's in my soul. Your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne.
Stronger than a heart. to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord.